Till we pray. Heavenly Father, again, we want to express our gratitude to you, Lord, giving us health and strength to be in this place today to worship your name. But above all, we praise you, Lord, because you have chosen us before the foundation of the world that we should be here to establish us in righteousness which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, to give unto us the knowledge of the mysteries which have been predestinated to this hour, Lord, and we are grateful for them, knowing that as time runs out, Lord, that eternity is here already, Lord, ushering into it. And the things of God are not just at hand, but they're even more and more real than they were even yesterday, Lord. We thank you for that. Help us in our studies today. May the things be said that are convenient, Lord. May you speak to us in the inner man. Speak deep within our hearts, Lord, to bring forth fruit unto you. We'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, just before I get into a little message this morning on faith to perhaps bring some thoughts, I want to just make a little note as to why we take a stand against so many religions right across the board. We don't single any religion out, but I want to just give you a brief picture here in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a judgment prophet. I'm not a judgment prophet. But I want you to know when a judgment prophet comes into the land, God begins to work right across the board. He doesn't just single out one person, because sin is sin. And if you begin reading in the 46th chapter, I'll just take a little thought there. In the 46th chapter, Jeremiah begins speaking to the Gentiles. In verse number 2, he cries out against Egypt. In chapter 47, he turns on Philistine Tyre. In 48, he goes against Moab. In 49, against the Ammonites and against their cities. And against Edom, against Damascus, against the kings, against Babylon, against Chaldea. If you look carefully, and you don't have to be too careful, all you got to do is turn to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Christ himself speaking to an end-time generation, which end-time generation was Israel who turned him down. And he says here in the 35th verse that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias son of Berechias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. What have those poor people got to do with the blood of Abel? See, we may think that many preachers and many men that rise up against denominations are unfair. They're not unfair. They just preach the word of Almighty God. And there isn't a denomination going to stand at this end time. And somebody's got to have some truth. You say, well, do you believe you've got the truth? Yeah, we believe we do have the truth. We believe we do on the grounds of after the fact. That faith is no longer something that is invisible, that we passed from the invisible to the visible. We passed from that which you might say is not necessarily theoretical, but lies in the realm of the unseen. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. In other words, there's something real to faith that brings about that which is merely in a word form and brings it into a true form. That is a concrete form. And when it comes to a concrete form, it's no longer what it once was. You can take life. Anybody can take life. And as long as you can put that life into the proper environment, that life is going to reproduce from that environment. Now, the environment doesn't make the life reproduce. The life makes the environment reproduce, so the environment comes into a form. I hope you understand what I'm saying. It's as simple as ABC. You try to take life, male and female, you take the human life. And you know it's in the male sperm, more particularly than the female egg. You usually say the life is in the male. All right. Let's just go ahead and we'll take and put the two together. What do you see? You see nothing. You can take the egg and the sperm, you see nothing as far as life is concerned. But you can see signs of life when they begin to come together and multiply. So what is it? The life is taking of the environment. and is producing an environment for itself. But the environment has nothing to do with the life. The life itself is very singular. So, all right, we're looking at the fact that there is a faith premise. Now, we found it over here in the book of Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. And I'm likening that to what we're talking about here in the line of faith. Now, life itself is definitely a substance. It is real. It's a greater force, a greater thing than anything we can see out here. We just understand that very, very well. Now then, when you take that life and you begin, that life begins to move, and the cells begin to, and the materiality begins to come together, you're looking at something now that is very evident. So you've gone from the invisible, which was a substance, but it was there just the same, though invisible, to the place now where you see something which is very, very visible. Now, looking at this in the same reality that we're thinking in terms of faith, let's put it over here, in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Now, speaking of the corruption of the earth, that is to be changed to the incorruption, looking down the road, based upon a hope or a promise. It says in the 24th verse, "For we are saved by hope." That's earnest expectation. But hope that is seen is not hope. It's not that anymore. It's changed. "For what a man seeth, why did he yet hope for?" In other words, why do you keep going and looking for the chicken eggs to break out into little chickens when the eggs have already broken out and become little chickens? You don't come out there and say, "Well, I'm going to lift up the hen now to see if those eggs are cracked," when you know jolly well there was 8 eggs under the hen and they're all little chickens. See, what we're looking at here is that when you come to a certain place, you don't use the same terminology to have the same effect. It is a different terminology with a different effect. Now, let's take a look at that, because those are statements. All right. We're examining this message that Brother Branham brought us on perfect faith. And that perfect faith is like over here in 1 John, the first chapter. John is speaking as an authority on this perfect faith. Now, that's our thought, but this is not perfect faith. This has to do with the Christ who fulfilled the Word of God, and when it was fulfilled, you didn't look for it again. This was it. You've arrived. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father." Okay, let's go back now to the book of Luke. And this has to do with the the adoration of Simeon, as that's what they call it in Luke, the 2nd chapter. Verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Now, up until this time, he had a promise. And he earnestly expected with all Israel that Christ would appear. But at a certain time, in reference to the appearing, the Holy Ghost came to this man and said, "This is that hour when your faith will be translated into sight, and it'll no longer be faith, no longer expectation. This is it." You see what I'm saying? All right. And verse 27, "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, circumcision, Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now listen, faith is blind and faith does not see. So this is no longer faith. Faith is something you don't see, but something you expect to see. And once you see it, it's fulfillment. And it's all over. Now, remember, this one was prophesied to come. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. That's it. That means a young woman. Nobody really knew it was going to be a true virgin birth, as you understand a virgin birth without male conception. But male intervention, rather. But as Brother Branham so beautifully explained it, that God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So when it is brought to pass under his circumstances, you know exactly what that word is all about. Now, I don't know why people simply don't take that. That's a strong, good, fundamental theological argument. But can you get the churches to take it? No, because they're going to build on their own stupid traditions, which are get, and they can't produce anything except things. That goes, the Pentecostals down, and they're the worst of the worst. Because they're the ones with the light. And they sold everything out for a mess of pottage, a few gifts. Now, the Bible distinctly says Elijah must come. Is he going to come or is he not going to come? Now the point is, how is he going to come? Is he going to come according to the church, or is he going to come according to God? And then when God does it, God's going to explain it. That's how God has always done it. Now what church is going to say God's going to do different? Am I going to say different? I'm basing my entire salvation that God does not change. And I don't want him to change. Because I want a solid rock. So God always explains and teaches after the fact. See? He gave men visions. He said, what does this mean? He said, I don't know. He said, I'll tell you what it means. He told men to do certain things as signs amongst the people. What does this mean? I'll tell you what it means. You lie here all these days. You show this thing for so many years. Let me tell you, Israel, you understand this and get this flat, Israel. You're going to be in captivity 70 solid years by the sign that I gave you. And they said, oh, hogwash. And prophets rose up like the preachers today. And they sputtered off and said, oh, that's not the way it's going to be. It's not going to be it at all. But that's the way it was. And the Bible proves it. So what we're looking at today, in the light of this revelation that we stand with, is not any longer faith. It has nothing to do with faith. Because faith is not knowledge. Let me prove it to you by just reading. Let's take the word believe. When you believe something, it means to accept as true someone's testimony, not based on your own personal knowledge. You're sitting here this morning talking about believing in faith. And you're trying to get all hepped up in yourselves as though you could have something. I got news, you ain't got nothing. But you do have this peculiar ability to rely on a testimony apart from your own personal knowledge. You say, is that what's going to get me there? That's what the dictionary says. Then you better change your understanding of believing if you don't want that one. See, it's hard for us to accommodate to God. We want God to accommodate to us. But God knows he's not going to do it. He won't do it. What does the word faith mean? It means to trust in the truth and honesty of another, or to accept anything as fact by reason of the authority from whence it came apart from personal knowledge. Now, I like this one better because this puts me where I can have a faith. My faith can be built upon that which is no longer faith. That's right. See, it isn't faith when that person predicted or that event transpires, that person comes. Simeon said, Lord, he said, let me go now that I have seen the reality of this promise. It was no longer a promise. It was no longer faith. Hadn't have anything to do with it. See? But he could take that faith, which once was faith and is no longer faith, and predicate his whole life upon it. I hope you're getting what I'm saying, because this is what perfect faith is all about in the message Brother Branham gave us. It's not what many people think it is. It's really a whole lot different. All right. When all of these things in the Scripture come to pass, there is what you call a fulfillment. And you go on from there. And when you go on from there, in every single condition, until the very last breath you breathe pretty well, the last little promise is to be fulfilled to you. You take that fulfillment as a basis for a future, unfulfilled, invisible, but to be visible, promise manifested to you. Okay, you see what hear what I said? All right. This man Simeon said, God, I've seen your salvation. I can depart. He was at peace. He knew that everything that he stood for from Abraham was foundationalized to the extent that he could leave this realm that he was living in, which was the earth, and literally, as an elect child of God, come back with Jesus Christ in the resurrection. Hear what I said? All right, I said it. Let me go to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Beginning at the 8th verse, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now that's real faith. You got something from God that says move on. There's something down the road for you. Well, where is it? Ain't going to tell you. But I'll move you. I'll direct you. I'll guide you. How'll I know when I get there? You might not. If necessary, I'll tell you. That's what it says right here. I can read over in the book of Acts. Under inspiration, Philip preached the word and Stephen preached the word of God. And he said, absolutely, that God did not give Abraham 1 ounce, 1 inch of land where Abraham had placed his feet. Abraham still got to come back and get that land. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. We're coming right back to this same old earth, and believe me, it's pretty strange to me right now. I hate it. And to a degree. I'm getting anxious to come back in a good condition, in a good earth. I'll be honest, I'm getting stirred up for the first time. The millennium has always evaded me. But it doesn't anymore. For years I've been thought I was ready for the millennium. Just kidding, of course. I'm getting ready for it. I trust you are too. I mean, I'm giving you a testimony on the grounds of faith. He sojourned. He was just a stranger dwelling in tents. That's all he could have. And he was heirs of the whole caboodle. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now listen, he jumped right from the millennium to the New Jerusalem. He certainly did. Now, here's what I'm trying to get across to you. They were looking for the Redeemer. Because they have to come back from death in order to inherit the millennium in a glorified body and then the New Jerusalem. Now the Redeemer had appeared. It was no longer a faith principle. See? Let's read a little further about this fellow, Abraham. Now, well, it's in here. It's in the substance. I'll read it. Through faith, Abraham and Sarah conceived. They brought forth the child. And these children would be as numerous as the sands by the seashore and the heavens in multitude. And they all died in faith. And every single one was waiting for the Redeemer, which, according to the word of God, Abraham by type signified when he offered up his son. Now, and God said, at that time, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Now here was the provided one by the provider. Elohim had provided a sacrifice. So Elohim would say at one time to Adonai, sit on my right hand. They were looking for that. David prophesied concerning him. Now they all died in faith, but here was a man that saw it. And when he saw that baby, it was no more faith. What has faith got to do with it? What has faith got to do with this microphone? Hogwash the microphone's there and it's working. What's faith got to do with my glasses? I got them on my nose before my eyes, they're working. What's faith got to do with my upper chompers I bought? Nothing. I bought them, I paid for them, glue them in, and I chaw away. The only faith is maybe they'll stay in. I'm trying to show you something here. What has it got to do with it? Nothing. Nothing. But what it does, it sets you up for the next promise. Now that's what we saw in Brother Branham's message here. We saw by the fact that that man, like Moses of old, came on the scene. He said, now, he said, you folk won't hardly believe this, but he said, the fact of the matter is, he said, out there in the desert, I was, he said, what? Well, he said, well, look, he said, it's kind of embarrassing, but it's the truth. Because there's nothing like this, he said, no. But he said, there was a bush out there set on fire and the thing didn't burn. Now, he said, of course, he said, being a scientific man, I got pretty curious. And I went over there to see what in the world's going on in that crazy bush. I can't understand that. This is just something impossible. He said, when I got close there, he said, a voice said, better not come any further. And he said, God spoke out of that pillar of fire in that burning bush. Now I said, you might not believe it, but he said, I'm gonna prove to you before it's over that my witness is correct. Because that voice told me to come on down here and bring you people out with signs and wonders. Now, he went down there, and he proved, authenticated himself to be a witness that was reliable. Now, God had promised 400 years before, I'm going to let my people go down to Israel, Egypt, live in a strange land under strange people that are going to persecute them. Now, he said, I can't bring them up until the cup of iniquity of the Amorites and the Egyptians is running over. And when it does run over, I'm going to send a man down there with a strong hand, and I'm going to bring him out. Now, that's a promise in faith. But the minute Moses came on the land, it was no longer faith. It was expectation fulfilled, and you don't even need to expect. Now, you see what I'm trying to get you to place here? It's rock solid foundation. You're not even expecting anymore. Except what's to come. See? Now, here's the deliverer. No problem. Not a bit of problem. It's all over. Was it over? You bet your life it was all over. Or you say, but they had a hard job. I don't care how hard a job they had. It was all over. They saw it worked out. Because you see, it was transferring from the premise of non-sight to sight. Or from belief to a reality. That's why that God will even create to make sure that what you've got is beyond the limits of normal faith. By faith we understand the words were formed by the Word of God. And that's why William Branham spoke the same as Moses spoke. And if you can't believe William Branham, whom you've seen, you better not believe Moses, whom you haven't seen. See? So, all right. We see the solid rock foundation that we're dwelling on, where Brother Branham could come on the scene the same as Moses came on the scene, as these men came on the scene, saying, now look, you might not kind of believe this, but when I was a child, there was a whirling of a wind in the trees, and a voice spoke out of the whirlwind in the trees, and said, now, don't ever smoke or drink or defile yourself with women. You've got a work to do when you'll grow up. And you're going to live in a little town near New Albany. Now, people might say, well, you know, that's a little hocus pocus. Or what about the fact of the miracles, the signs and the wonders? What about thus saith the Lord? Let me tell you something. The Bible distinctly says Elijah is going to come and restore. Israel knew for 400 years there was going to be a deliverer, and they didn't recognize him when he got there. He had to tell them. And he had to prove by the power of God that he was the one, and even when he did prove it, they still didn't want it. So what do you want this morning? What do you want this morning, you people? You know, you're just a bunch like me, a bunch of dog meat. You can't trace your background. Wait, Irish, Scotch? Ha! You're a mixture. You're worse than Heinz Pickle Factory. 57 varieties or a hound dog out there. You got no genealogy. Israel had genealogy. Israel had genealogy. Go right back to Adam. You can't prove where you come from. You hear me? Anytime. They had it all written down. God had picked Abraham. What do we got? Well, they booted Moses out. Well, they said, you're going to treat us like you treated that Egyptian down there? Didn't have any use for Moses. She said, Elijah comes on the scene, the world will be there to embrace it. Are you kidding? Who was here to embrace you when you got born? Ha! Well, it's just as stupid. Just as stupid to think the world is going to stand religious-wise to embrace Elijah as someone was here to embrace you or me. Listen, the best we can say about our own birth is this, though it's not true. We were accidents of conception. Moses was predestinated by Almighty God. So were we. Oh, so were we. But there's predestination and predestination, brother. So let's get that plan. So I want to get my point across to you to see this. What God does to take us from blind faith to sight faith, call it that, to definitive knowledge. He's done it according to this word time after time after time. It never changes. It is always after the fact. Now, in the time of Jesus Christ's birth, did Mary have any reason to believe at all that she would be the one chosen? Did she have any reason to believe that's how it would be without a male conception? She didn't have any reason. She didn't have a clue. Because she said, how is this going to be if I'm really going to be the mother of this Messiah? And if it's going to be like you say, how is it going to be? I am not even married. And he said, you won't even be married. Because it doesn't come that way. Now, how many people believe her testimony? Do you think for 1 minute they believe that testimony? Not much of a testimony at all, as far as I know. I'll tell you what, listen, let's be honest with you, brother, sister. The virgin birth has been looked down upon by Eastern religions for thousands of years because everybody knows what virgin birth is in this realm, which means simply this. A heathen priest simply got together and they made passages in temples and places and they brought in temple virgins to live there in their little program and they would cohabit with these little temple virgins, and then they say we got pregnant by the gods. And Israel knew their idolatry. It's been that day thousands of years. So it is, when somebody come on the scene to Israel and said, or even perhaps an Arabian, and said, hey, I got a daughter that's going to have a baby. No man's ever touched her. Well, what do you attribute to God? I attribute to God. Doing a work on whom? Yeah, we've been all through that too. Just a big laugh. So where do you think she stood and where do you think the people stood? See? Now, we don't care if her cousin Elizabeth had a witness. And we don't care if her husband had a witness, Joseph, when he finally took her. We don't care if anybody had a witness and swore on a stack of Bibles a mile high that it's true. Give me some evidence that this is the Son of God, and he did it. See, that's the thing you're looking at. So what you see, all along the line, you were looking at a faith precept of what God's Word said. Then you saw him fulfill it, and it wasn't faith anymore. But it gave you the springboard for the next step. And when that was fulfilled, you went to the next. And you went to the next. And you went to the next. And you kept on going. Now, in this day and our hour, Elijah must come. Who knew how he would come? Well, you say, well, Elijah, that's got to be a Jew. Bless God, got to be a Jew. Who said it's got to be a Jew? Where does the Bible say that God cannot have a Gentile prophet? I want you to consider this, my brother, sister. Abraham was not a Jew. He was a Hebrew. The true Jews are really Judeans geographically or from the tribe of Judah genetically. So let's not fool with that. Now, we look at the fact then of what's coming down the road here, looking from way back, coming right down the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, down, down, down. Right from the very beginning, the prophecy, coming on down, coming down, coming down. And we see the prophets coming down, coming down, coming down. Where did Jesus Christ come from? See, when he came out of the tribe of Judah, that's very good. Where did Judah come from? Came out of Adam. Where did Adam come? Came from God. So you can't just say, all right, it's going to be a Jew because Jesus was a Jew. Because we had Jew prophets. Noah was not a Jew. Abraham was not really a Jew. Enoch was not. See, Adam certainly wasn't. He had to receive revelation. So when you look at these things, you cannot say to yourself, well, we've got this thing pigeonholed. That's what the churches have done all the time. I don't care who they are, brother, sister. You go to the heathen, they pigeonhole it. You can't do it. God works in a mysterious way, and he works his own way, his wonders to perform. He does it according to a Bible pattern, and it always has been this. God comes on the scene, and he does something in order to attract the people's attention, and from that point, they go to another point. All right. We're not going to take all morning with this, so we can maybe start to wind down on this section of it anyway. The point is, we're looking at this. Before the, let's go to Acts, the third chapter, and read it. So you begin to see what we're talking about. Now, in the beginning of the middle of the 19th verse, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, even God shall send Jesus Christ, which is appointed unto you. Priest is supposed to come. But whom the heavens must retain, until the restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Now, it tells you right there that there is going to be a refreshing come from God himself upon the earth. That is not it. No, that is not it. That's the start of it. After that, there's got to come restoration. Now, where in the Bible do you understand restoration? Elijah must truly come and restore. So, all right, Elijah's got to come. Now the question is this. How do we know? Who's going to finger him? Who's going to indoctrinate him? Who's going to give him the power? What is this man all about? You go to the book of Malachi, and you begin to understand a little bit about it. So we go back to Malachi. And here's what it says. For behold, the fourth chapter, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, ye all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And that day, and the day that shall come, and the day that cometh shall burn them up. Saith the Lord of hosts, it shall leave neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name, the Son of righteousness shall rise healing in his wings. Now it tells you right there, which is true, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, which we could have read further in the same book of Acts, second chapter. There's got to be this presence. There's got to be this breath of fresh air, this healing revival. That's not it. There's got to come restoration. It's got to come by Elijah. But it says at that time, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. So therefore, what have you got? You've got at the very same time that God rises in anger and indignation to take judgment, he has a method of dealing with the situation through Elijah whereby the people can escape. Now, how's he going to do this? This is the thing that the human mind does not want to grasp. The church says, well, our church will produce it. Let me tell you something. We who believe this message no more produce this than a hog produces gold and silver and precious stones. I didn't have one thing to do with it, and I still don't have one thing to do with it after the origination. But the churches want to get in the act. Oh, he'd come to our church. He'd be with us. No. God has never done that and never will do that. He's going to do what he wants. Now, he tells you right here at that time, he's going to tread down the wicked. They're going to be ashes. But he said, behold, I'm sending you Elijah before that great and terrible treading down into ashes. So what do you got? You've got what Jesus himself prophesied at the end ages. That was what? Over here in Luke, the 17th chapter. The days of the Son of Man. He said right here, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Verse 20. It'll be there, you won't even see it. They're going to say, lo here, lo there, and you won't see it. It isn't that you cannot see it, that it cannot be seen, but you don't recognize it. Now, when this comes, which it came in Jesus' day, that is no longer faith, brother, sister. You don't have to believe for it. It is now. What are you going to do with it? You don't have to believe concerning Jesus Christ coming in the flesh to die for your sins. Don't be ridiculous. There's nothing to do with that at all. Just what are you going to do with it? It's been here for 2,000 years. What are you going to do with it? See? All right, keep looking at it. He said, disciples, the days will come and you'll desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and you'll not see it. They'll see, go here, go there, follow this, follow that, come on. No, that's not it. He said, it's going to be light. For as the lightning that lighteth out of one part under heaven shines the other part, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. Now, that's not lightning going crisscross, bam, bam. That's just plain light. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected. So you're telling me he's got to die first before this can take place. Said if he's got to die before this can take place, then he's got to come back and do it. Well, he's going to rise with healing in his wings. He's going to come back and do this. And then it tells you it's going to be like the days of Noah, judgment. It's going to be like the days of Sodom, judgment. That's the condition when the Son of Man's revealed. Now he's talking of days. What's the days of the Son of Man? The prophet on earth, when he proved who he was and proved he had the right to be the judge. Now look, he's got to come back and do it. How's he going to do it? Can't come back and do it in the flesh. There's no way, because this precedes the coming in the flesh. The heavens must retain him and keep him there. So this is done how? By his own Holy Spirit. God himself in the form of the Holy Ghost doing it. See, how do we know this? Because we were taught it by the man that was vindicated. I wouldn't know split beans and buttermilk about this any more than you would. I'd be just guessing and dribbling up here. Showing my stupidity. Because I'd be guessing. But it's after the fact. So when Brother Branham preached on perfect faith, he wanted you to know that you have literally bypassed a certain faith precept and concept. It is no longer in existence. You are no longer looking for time and eternity to blend. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is blending. And I don't care if you don't believe it. It's going on anyway. And I don't care what you say and what you do. It doesn't affect me one little bit. Go ahead. Have your fun. I'm having mine. So, Brother Bill, what if it hasn't come to the place where it's sight, where it's no longer faith? Well, I blew it, didn't I? It'll still come. What if I'm right? I'm just 1 minute from the resurrection or split second, and you're not. See, that's all there is to it. And I don't care what you say today, and I don't care what I say. It's over. Elijah has come. They did what they wanted in Jesus' day. He came again. They've done what they wanted. He's appeared. They've done what they want. You do what you want. I don't care what you do. And that goes for the whole bunch of you. And everybody hears the tape. It goes for my wife and my kids, and it goes for me. Because when God moves, my brother, sister, that's it. Oh, God, move again. Oh, God, move again. The Bible tells you, he's a unique high priest. He doesn't keep offering the blood. It's once and for all. You think you're going to kill him every time? They killed him for 7 church ages, by the word. They brutalized him the last church age. Put him out of his own church. Call him the devil. Listen, brother, sister, they called him the devil in Matthew 12. Do you hear what I'm saying? They called him the devil in Matthew 12. And of the same Almighty God, without his own flesh. And he doesn't need it. Simply did something in our midst here. Do you think it's strange that people would call him of the devil? I would say it's very strange if they didn't call him of the devil. And maybe you sit so smug this morning thinking, well, I wouldn't do it. And you've done it already. I don't know. I wouldn't say that for anybody for a minute. But there's people out in the world that have done it. Already blasphemed the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me some of these Nazarenes and Church of God, Anderson, bunch of the rest of them, haven't blasphemed the Holy Ghost when they call the gifts of the Holy Ghost of the devil. Let me tell you, the Catholic Church is way ahead of them. The Greek Orthodox is way ahead of them. Because they know they're genuine gifts. But they already blasphemed God. The Bible says, I'm not telling you making up something. I'm telling you something here. I'm not against all denomination, everybody else, just because I hate these things. I'm trying to get this to the place, brother, sister, where we get with the line of Almighty God and we get out of here. Because it's not a matter of whose side is God on. It's whether we are on God's side. And it's our decision. I want to ask you a question. How many people got on the boat with Noah? No. How many crossed over the Red Sea with Moses? The Egyptians are saying to do so die. How many got a Sodom and Gomorrah? Let's narrow it down. What about this hour? How many are going to get out of here? See? But I want you to know, see, I'm trying to build your faith. I'm negative, but I'm positive. Because I'm trying to get you to see, brother, sister, this is now out of your hands. I don't care what you say or do or think. It is now out of your hands. And you sit here and make your choice this morning. That's all you've got left within your soul is the power of choice. That's all you've got. You don't have a decision. Has to say this is right and that is right and that is wrong and that is wrong. And stick it out theologically. You've only got the choice to say this is wrong as far as I'm concerned. I don't want it. Or this is right as far as I'm concerned to do on it. But you say, well, I think maybe I'll take a little longer time. I'll sit on the fence. God grant you the privilege, my brother and my sister, but I doubt you've got it coming to you. I doubt if you've got it coming this morning. Time to make your mind up. Because it's after the fact. It's after the fact. Elijah has come. Elijah has gone. You say, what if it wasn't? Well, who knows? You tell me what's going to come then. You show me where this is different from the rest of the Bible. That's what I want to know. As Brother Branham said, when you come this far, when you literally speak the same as Joshua did, and the results concur with what you said, you know that those are God's words, and you are right in that battle. Now, what's faith? Trust in the truth and honesty of another. To accept this fact by reason of the authority whence it came apart from personal knowledge. In other words, I don't have to produce anything, but I'm going to be forced to produce a decision about whatever came to my attention as per the fulfilled word of God. All right? You understand what I said last night then? This perfect faith, brother, sister, is a different kind of faith entirely. It's God's own faith in himself and his word that he has brought to pass before us and said, this is it. you can move from there. What is your next step? The next step is the resurrection. And in the resurrection, when that takes place, you will have resurrection faith because you'll see the dead. You say, hallelujah, it's all over. Oh, you'll feel so great.
Amen.
But you're not going to feel that great there unless you feel great here. Unless you have this super faith, perfect faith, which is beyond the revelatory, it is completely concrete and discriminatory. Oh, yes, because it separates, discriminates. You can't get the next step. You see what we're trying to tell you? From the vindication of the shout to the next promise, you have just this breath awaiting, the dead will come out of the ground. That's a phrase we use. It doesn't really mean that. And when that happens, what's the next step? The trumpet for the rapture. What's the next step? The wedding supper. Well, first the coronation. The wedding supper. Then what? Coming back for the 1,000 years. The cleanup of the 1,000 years. Then what's the next step? But you see, what you're looking at now is the Roman candle effect of what has taken place under the seventh seal. Trip hammer. Just spurts out. Spurts out. Spurts out. And keeps moving. And moving. And we've started moving under the seventh seal. So, brother, sister, what I'm trying to tell you now is this. You're in a position beyond faith that you've never been before, and we've never been before. Actually, you and I are out of control. It was proven by the satellites. Never done before. Shoot a thing so high in the air, the gravitational pull of another center will pull it away, never to come back. You realize we are under a gravitational pull, brother, from everything our minds ever thought, our hearts ever wanted, the church ever said. We are into something entirely of God, making us entirely eerie, weird, though the word is mystical and mysterious to the world. As Paul the Apostle said, I have been crucified unto the world, and fortunately, it's been crucified unto me. I don't want it, and it doesn't want me. I don't want the church, and the church doesn't want me. I'm a dead duck as far as the church is concerned, and the church is a dead duck as far as I'm concerned. It doesn't hate me, and I don't hate it. You know, the fact of the matter is, well, it's pretty hard to say this to make it real sense. So I've got to make one inanimate. But can a rock hate a cow? Or can a cow hate a rock? Or can a dead cow hate a live cow? Can't do it. There's nothing there. There's no interest. There's no reference point. Now, those may sound like harsh statements and pretty hard pronouncements, but I'm not going to take them back. Because brother, sister, crucified is crucified. It's like a fellow one time said, what does it mean, he said, pastor, for a man to be crucified? Well, he said, son, you're dead, rather dead to himself, dead and crucified. Well, son, I'll tell you what you do. So why don't you go out to a graveyard out there, and he said, there's a fellow out there, the name of so-and-so. You go out there and just praise him to the skies. Tell him every beautiful thing, how great he is. Go out there for half an hour. And he just talked to the guy dead for half an hour, and came back and preached. What did he say? He said nothing. We should go out there and cuss him good for half an hour. Just bawl him out and tell him what kind of a skunk he is, what a creature he is, what a mess he is, and then come back. He went out. He just let him have for half an hour. He came back. What did he say? He said nothing. He said, that's when you're dead. No communication. There's nothing there. What do you want, see? Now, brother, sister, what we're looking at is this. When you really see what has transpired in our day, and we're just beginning to get the full thrust of it, because it's got to come mental before it comes spiritual. There is a mental faith, there is a spiritual faith. There is a knowledge out here in the senses that gives us a faith. In other words, we can work with principles. But there is a spiritual revelation. We are coming now to the place of a definitive spiritual revelation. that we can stand back and say, this is it. To bring us where I mentioned Brother Branham came, when the storm was stopped in Colorado, no more guilt. When a visitation with Christ in the Sabina Canyon, there was no more fear. Now, this does not make us bragging, vaunting, boisterous witnesses of a conviction. Up here, I may demonstrate, I may say things very loud on the street. I'm not interested in raising my voice or talking hardly to anybody. To you, I say these things because I want the emphasis to get across to you, just in hope somehow the raising of the voice and the hammering may get it to you, that whether you know it or not, you have arrived. You are at the end of the trail. It is all over. Don't look for anything else except what comes out of this. Because there isn't anything else. There isn't anything else. Do you understand? When Elijah comes, it's destruction. When Elijah comes, it's restoration. When Elijah comes, it is what? Noah and the ark. It is Sodom and Gomorrah. It is what Jesus said. The ends of the world are come upon you. And whether you want to admit you're responsible, that you are going to glean in yourself the harvest that other men sowed, you are going to glean it. Now listen, let's put that down, brother, sister, and understand it. So our church doesn't believe that. I don't care what your church believes. And I don't care what you believe. If you don't apply the token to your family. That's right. You are going to see your children gather what 6,000 years reaped, or sowed rather. 6,000 years of sowing, this generation will reap. Jesus said the generation of his day will reap 4,000 years. Now, if you think you're not reaping, just look at your age question again. What is age? It is a sexual disease, period. What does sex symbolize? Idolatry. What is idolatry? It is not only false gods, it is a false worship toward God. Because God lays down his laws of worship. So the world is dying today for their sexual sins, their immorality. I know people hold out a hope, and they say it's not going to happen. If you believe it's not going to happen, I just say one thing. Fold your Bibles this morning, and don't be such a liar. Don't bother coming back to church. And don't pretend, because you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe the flood. You don't believe those things. You don't believe at all what it says in the book of Romans. Romans, that great and terrible book. We've looked at it so many times. Right in that first chapter, where it says in verse 18, but the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and unrighteousness, who hold down the truth. They wouldn't take it. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it to them. In other words, God absolutely at one time proved categorically to the people that he was God, the sovereign God in the driver's seat, and they were responsible to him according to what he said. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen, that's the earth, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power in Godhead, they are without excuse. Then what if God should come on the scene with the prophet? Because that's how he does it. There again, the church doesn't want it. Oh, we'll elect to somebody, and God will honor the man we elect. Hogwash, God will honor the man you elect. You can elect me as pastor here, God will no more honor me than nothing. To a God honored brother there. We made him pastor. Hallelujah. You worked through him. He said, drop dead. That's what they said. And even old Samuel got led astray. Samuel, mighty man of God. He said, oh, alas. Look at, he said, the son of Jesse. Oh, look at that fine man. He is going to make just a wonderful fellow to anoint his king. And God said, oh, hold it, hold it, hold it. I thought you'd learned your lesson, Samuel. You're for a prophet. Oh, brother. No, I don't want him. You're looking on the outside. I'm looking on the inside. Oh, sorry, Lord, sorry, Lord. So much for Samuel. I know it's kind of a joke the way I make these things very sarcastic, but I've got to get your attention to show you these things. Don't get your thoughts in here, brother, sister, though you got something to add to God. He makes you a fool every single time. He'll make you a fool every single time because the wisdom of man is folly before God. And the foolishness of God is greater than any wisdom we'd ever had. Who'd ever thought that a poor old Sam would make that mistake? So he got a little fellow by the name of David. Anointed him king. Wouldn't matter, you could anoint me your pastor, ordain me. Call them the finest hierarchy in the world. Say, come on, we got something going on down here at this place, Quincy. Gonna put Lee Vail in there. Go ahead. God will take me plumb out. Bring all your bishops together. All your elders, all your seniors. Elect somebody. What does it do for you? What if it's not God's man? This man came on the scene with, thus saith the Lord. They sneered and walked away. We'll elect our own people, have our own choices, our own general supervisor, our own president, our own bishops, our own... Sure. All right. Now look, it said right here, God in creation lets them know that he's God. What if God then superseded creation as he does in prophets? Now where you stand? Didn't God in Christ supersede his own creation? He certainly did. The storm was raging out of control. He said, stop the storm. The storm stopped. The people had no food. There was dead food lying there. He said, multiply to multiply. They needed wine. Nothing but water. So it's turned into wine. God superseded his own creation. And they said, kill him. He has a snowball's chance in hell. I say it again, you might be insulted. His ministry, and he had a snowball's health chance in hell, in the lake of fire, to impress people. Come on, think it over. If you don't see what I'm seeing, you don't see Jesus Christ having died on the cross. Or you see the paper people just sort of fail to realize. Oh, some little thing in there, but it wasn't like you say, Brother Vail. It wasn't. We've got no king but Caesar. Kill him. I like that. Oh, that's sweet and gentle.
With no king but Caesar, I think something should be done about it.
Nah. You what? Come on. You tell me there's a change? You tell me in the condition of Noah again where 8 souls got saved? John the Baptist had 6 converts. 3 came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. 4 came and 1 turned back. When the whole world is supposed to follow the Antichrist, do you think for 1 minute if this man was Elijah, and I believe he was, in fact, as far as I'm concerned, he certainly was. Do you think he's going to have any impact as precise? Oh, come on. Never has been that way, never will be. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their reasonings. And their foolish hearts were dark, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the God in image made for a couple of men, like the birds, four-footed beasts, and creepy things. Wherefore, now listen, here's what God did. Because they did this, he gave them over to uncleanness, to the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. 10 million homosexual men in America. And that may be the tip of the iceberg. How many bisexuals? How many homosexual women? And what magazine is the filthiest magazine in the world? The homosexual magazine on women, not men. Come on. When was the world in this condition, brother, sister, till now? Except before the flood. Why did God say, I've got to clean up the Canaanites? Because they're homosexuals. I want to ask you a question. Which church does not have the homosexuals and is not dealing with them? If we had them around here, we'd just make one deal. Out and stay out. Or we throw you out. Pentecost bulletin, Presbyterians don't know what to do with them. Catholics got six in Boston alone. AIDS. There's nobody hasn't got it. I'm not condemning, I was just telling you, nobody hasn't got it. What do we have to look for further sign? I'm saying, have we come or haven't we come? Oh, Brother Dale, they said this years ago, not under these conditions. They said it, but not under these conditions. Israel was not back in the homeland when they made these challenges. When Dowie had his fling, thought he was somebody. Israel's not back in the homeland. When Israel goes in the homeland, it is a sign of the resurrection or this Bible lie. Spit on and throw it in the garbage can. Who needs it? All it takes is one lie. Because if God lied once, he can lie twice. I lied once, and I lied a whole lot since. I have no trouble. God does. God does. He's not going to lie. Dishonored their own bodies between themselves, changed the truth of God into a lie. Worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, was best forever. Now what happened? They go deeper than ever. Notice how this begins to compound. This is after the fact in this hour. Watch it compound. The doctors tell you it isn't going to happen. I'm telling you the doctors are liars. It is going to happen. Likewise, the men leaving the nash used to women, burning their lust one toward another. Men and men working that which is unseemly, receiving themselves a recompense of the error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave more to reprobate minds, to do things which are not convenient. In other words, it's going to get worse. Now let me get this flat. You have seen what AIDS are doing. It's going to get worse. You've seen what the homosexuals have done. And the perverted government, and women in office where they don't belong, and men not doing what they should do, and the world is going to get worse, and worse, and worse, and the church is going to get worse. Amen. Don't you think it's not? And this is going to get better, and better, and better, and better. Well, this is steaming going down with its irregularities, and its perverted minds. Our minds are going to get closer and closer to God. Why? Because we're piling word upon word upon word upon word upon word. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters. You think the church isn't full of it? It's been full of it for 2,000 solid years and it's getting worse. Until you can have a Tammy and a Jimmy come before the people. My God, have pity. What do people want? In the name of the Lord, as some stabilizing influence in this life to prepare us for heaven and away from the wrath of God and the trials that are going to come on this earth and the lake of fire to follow. And they're looking to that. People squabbling in public about their sexuality. And the little girl that was so involved, she gets close to God by stripping nude. This is what's in Pentecost. But don't listen. Don't shut the Lutherans out. Several years ago, a woman in the Lutheran church danced naked before the Lutheran church and the whole altar as a worship unto God. You say, well, that's just a little bit. Honey, what do you want? Do you want a lot of it? That's the tip of the iceberg. That's what's in people's hearts and minds. The whole thing is a perverted mess here. Without understanding. Covenant breakers. They've broken it. Without natural affection. Absolutely. Implacable. Unmerciful. I told you about that bunch of AIDS that came to... I mean, they're not AIDS, but they're a bunch of homos came to that meeting. Sponsored by some television outfit I saw. I think Lloyd's got it. You can get it. They stood right there and said, look, we're going to practice it. We're going to do it. And we get AIDS. You're going to cure us. And it's not going to cost us a cent. And you should have seen the preacher sitting by. I won't mention who he was. God, the preacher. And the doctors whimpering around. The only decent man was a born-again politician. And he said, what's the matter with monogamy? I'll tell you something, brother, sister. If we're in this mess because we let marriage get out of hand, come on. One thing got out of hand, marriage. Sex. And the whole thing is down the tubes. You think God's not going to strike this world in judgment? I'm speaking very dispassionately this morning. You might not think so. My heart's not like a stone. Neither is it red hot like a furnace. I speak plumb off the top of my head. That's where it is. I don't need a deep revelation. Why should I have one? I've got it. This is it. Am I going to turn the clock back for somebody? Can I undo the earthquake that happened over here to 6.4 in California on the way to your fault? No more than I'll stop the clock when it comes to San Andreas. I'm getting out of here. Maybe sooner than most of you. Boy, I feel at times. I'm not having much luck with feeling good. But it doesn't bother me. See, look, there comes a time when you pass right from this thing that you call faith, as you understand it, to a place where it's over. It's not faith anymore. Not faith anymore, brother, sister. You understand what I'm saying? It is not faith anymore. You're not expecting anymore. What you didn't expect, you got. Yes. What God said He would do. What you barely knew about. Maybe even casually or didn't know a thing about, you got. Now you're not stuck with it, although thank God we are. But you know why? Because He said, I won't lose one of you. Without understanding, I'm merciful. Who knowing the judgment of God, there and there. Who knowing it? That they which commit such things are worthy death, not and do the same, but have pleasure in them to do it. In other words, the world comes right together and says, hey, come on, let's keep moving. There's a book out on this book of AIDS. Brian's got it, I think. He knows where to get it. I don't know every book I read is true, because I'm too old to be fooled that way. I could write a book myself and claim I'm some authority, hogwash, and be no more than nothing. Anybody does that kind of, you know, that's nutty. But what if these people are really right? They say the AIDS virus survived dry for 5 days. And it could be windblowing. They say it's true that the mosquitoes don't carry it, or surely, positively, Florida would be more inundated than any place in America. What if it takes a certain kind of mosquito? I got mosquitoes up here, and they don't necessarily carry malaria. What if that has to mutate? And it can. I know too much about these things, but I tell you one thing. If you can fool with these things in a laboratory, they can fool around their own, don't worry, because the life is there to bring a manifestation. So, all right. We've arrived at a basic place we haven't been before. Now, I'm going to read you, and I'm going to finish because I'm just roaming around this morning. I knew I would do that, but it's okay by me. It's okay by you. It's too late anyway to check me. But I want to read you something here. It's in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. We'll start reading. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Holy and acceptable. Not W-H-O-L, but H-O-L-Y. Which is reasonable service or sacrifice. And be not conformed or fashioned after this world, but be you transformed from a butterfly, from a caterpillar to a butterfly, go through metamorphosis, get more metamorphosized, what do you call that word there? How? By the renewing of your mind. The only hope that this world has at this time is to get a brand new mind. The only hope it's got. And I would not expect to stand here or expect anybody to stand here or to so debase your, what we might call, how would I put it? Your intelligence? To have me or anybody stand up here and dictate to your mind or give you any precept as a way out, unless that was a proven precept of some description. In other words, I don't want any pontificating, generalizing, or sermonizing. I want something that is pertinent, concrete, and manifested. Then, just maybe, I'll begin to think the thoughts that you say I should think. Because I still don't have to. Now, if I'm astute, and that's not a fair thing to say either, because look, unless God is really working with us, we're not going to believe anything anyway. Remember he told the Pharisees, you can't believe, he said. There's no way, he said, because there's nothing in you to believe with. So nothing in there, you can't do it. But just talking now with people that I think we could say are reasonable. Reasonable to the extent that, hey, look, we're aware something is going on that's very, very horrible. We know this is going on. Look, what are you going to do about it? Well, hey, just a minute. There's a man that evidently God is somehow backing up. What do you mean? Well, this fella here, little tiny guy from Jeffersonville named William Branham. Funny thing happened when he was born. There was a white light came into the room and stood over his crib. Later on, he talked about visions. And, oh, they came to pass. Whatever he said came to pass. And then when he prayed for the sick, man, you talk about miracles. And now, the guy says, thus saith the Lord, and things happen exactly what he says. And when he tells you things, there's no way he ever tells a lie. He never misses. And you couldn't hide if you tried. In fact, certain preachers deliberately tried to trick him, and they got death for it. They died horrible deaths. I said, well, hey, just a minute. Now, I'm interested. You know why? I want to see something. I want to know if I can come to the place where this goes beyond me waiting with Abraham to come back in the millennium. I want to see if this is real, so I am coming back in the millennium. Now listen, I can take this Bible here and I can milk it and be honestly a fine expositor in milking it, to be 100% exegetically correct as far as I can go, and miss this moment because it's down the road. Ask you a question. Could you miss this moment if Elijah was supposed to appear and really did appear? Could you miss it? You say, no, I couldn't miss that because, you see, he's supposed to appear and this is it, he does appear. Well, tell me, what if he didn't appear the way you got it figured? Well, I don't have it figured. I'll wait and see. Now, that's good. Because, you see, God never let any man ever figure anything yet. No, sir. God himself did the figuring. He said to Noah, prudy. He said, Noah, there's a flood coming. How am I going to get out of here? Hold it, boy. Hold it. Just simmer right down. I'm going to get you out of here. How are you getting out of here? No, not hold it. We're going to build an ark. Oh, I said, let me see, an ark. I don't think about an ark. Let me see. Now, there's a scientist down the road, and he knows all about arcs. No, he said, nobody knows about an ark because there hasn't been one built yet. You see, I'm trying to get always after the fact. Always, my brother, sister, God gives you in an emergency, in a juncture. He comes on the scene and he places himself in you so that you don't have a worry. I want you to go to bed tonight and sleep like you never slept before. I don't care if the earthquake comes. So what if I suffer? Well, you, honey, You have already suffered. My Lord, I have had pains in my body like you cannot believe. I don't want to have them again. But if I had them, I will still go to heaven. Let me tell you something else before you go. This business of faith we're talking about, this tremendous faith, that this is not faith anymore. It's beyond it. I just can't explain it hardly to you. This great thing here. You know, Elijah was a prophet of God. Elijah. Oh, he was a corker in plain English. He was a good one. His predecessor Elijah called down fire on the prophets of Baal. Oh, it was scandalously beautiful the way he did it. It was a joy to behold. But his friend Elisha was called, "Hey, old bald head. Hey, you bald head." He got mad. And he called out some bears and they killed some kids. He wasn't a very nice fella. Let us soak in. So you're trying to be nice people? So you're going to get somewhere. I appreciate that. I want to be nice too. My wife wants me to be nice too. You want more nicer than I am, certainly. We all want that. It's part of the game, but it's not it. I want to draw a point here. Elisha had 7 major miracles. He had more than Elijah did. And yet the Bible said Elijah died with the sickness wherewith he was sick. Now the faith for your healing today, brother, sister, since God did the great thing by giving you this, and Brother Branham said the Spirit of Christ will come into the church until there's none of us sick anymore. That's going to be before the rapture. I want you to know this, that you may have a bit of a job with the healing that you want, because it has not been brought into view for you. It cannot be until the hour you're healed. Amen. This is not Elijah coming. You and I can leave this world with sickness. We can die. You could get cancer and die. Tuberculosis and die. I had it in my lungs, had it in my pituitary gland. By the grace of God, don't have it now. God heal me. You got something wrong with you right now, you're going to die with it. High blood pressure. Anemia. I don't know. That'll never disrupt the fact that you're born again and take from you this because you have seen it. You have seen it. That little healing you're going to get, you can have it this morning because you've already got the great thing. The healer is here. You and I can raise our faith the same when Moses raised the brazen serpent, and those that looked, there was everybody healed. And the serpents could do no further damage. You can be healed this morning, brother and sister. I want us to be that. I want us to be healed. God wants us to be healed. But it hasn't come into visibility. You've got to keep moving toward it until one day you know that you're healed. And that assurance, and then it's all over. And you, idiot. But this, my brother, sister, you had nothing to do with. But this lets you know that everything else is available. For God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? If God came into full manifestation to let you know that you were a part of that bride, you are a part of the new Jerusalem, you are the sinless, virtuous bride of Christ, there is no imputation of sin to you, you didn't even do it in the first place, the judgment is over, it's already the white throne, you're standing here as a witness before Almighty God in the world, then, brother, sister, what are you asking for? What do you want? See? That's where your faith lies this morning. That's where mine lies. Now, let's begin to get the two together. By the grace of God, this should finish off pretty well what I want to say in this subject, unless I want to talk some more another time. But finish off. You see, look, we are in a wonderful position. See, we have not built us a tower in Babylon. No, no, no. We have not raised up a false religion. We have not done any of these things. We have subscribed to the mighty God with the mighty input for this hour. And brother, sister, should we not then walk in a faith, a love, a rest, an atmosphere that the prophet said we could have? Surely there's no room for gifts anymore. There's no room for these things here. There's just room for the love of God and the nature of God to begin to flow. And you know something? I believe we're coming closer and closer to it. I believe it's beginning to move with all my heart, as much heart as I've got, which, you know, how can I say? I don't know what's here and what isn't here. God knows my heart. I don't even know my heart. But if I know anything about it, I know this, that something is happening. Now, I mentioned the mind, didn't I? The renewing of the mind. How good is your mind when you're flustered? How clearly do you use your mind when you simply emotionalize your state? How secure are you when the water is coming up to here and you're ready to panic? And you know the only thing out is a clear head. You getting what I'm saying? You catching it? Renew your minds, brother and sister. Renew your minds. Don't believe the old fallacy you can lay a Bible on your heart and something will happen to you. It will, but it won't be the right thing. Open up your mind. Because the renewing of your mind by this word that we stand for and preach here that Brother Branham gave us by vindication from Almighty God. You fill your mind with that. It will become a mental faith which will come down here into the soul and feed the soul and become a spiritual faith. And you'll be a rock strong Christian. I will be a rock strong Christian. You will be a rock strong Christian. That's right, Jesus. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your love and your kindness to us, Lord. We know, Lord, when it's all said and done and it's all over, that you did a work. And we only were privy to it on the grounds that we were elected to see it, O God. And yet we know within it all, Lord, there are ramifications because day by day we're making decisions. It is so true, Lord, every day we can believe you, every day we can turn you aside. Every day we can pile word upon word and stand with this word, or every day, Lord, we can just turn to something else. Every day we can fill our minds with this or fill our minds with that. Lord, help us to make decisions from this point on. This is how it is. It's been proven to us. Help our minds, Lord, not to try to grapple with these things, but to simply receive them. Until they go down deep within the warp and woof of our very being, and we come out the Christians you want us to be, which are going to come forth in a resurrection. We know, Lord, the church cannot do it. We know that we cannot do it. We know this little church here cannot do it. We know no one's going to do it but you, Lord. And you're going to do it in your own way. And Father God, if we've got the wrong way this morning, what can we say but we're sorry we're wrong? We've been sold a bill of goods. We put our hope in this, Lord. Yet if we're right, Father, how many are going to receive? Very, very few. Lord, in our own humanity, in our own thinking, just trying to be kind and considerate, we would try to consider everybody, and we would try to believe the best for everybody, Lord, and hope that everybody, regardless, would all be in the same position. But, Father, if your word is true, and we know it is true, that's another impossibility. Help us, O God, to be in the position you want us to be with your believers this morning. Believers, Lord, who have come to a place far beyond the believer, no longer looking, no, we're looking at. And what we're looking at, Lord, is no longer faith. It's a higher level. Father, bless each one today. We pray not one woman, not one man, not one child, regardless of age, position, whatever, will leave this building, Lord, without a hope of the future, either now or somewhere down the road. It matters not to us. It's in your sovereign will. That all of them, Lord, every single person, would be truly where we want to be, which is with you, and where, Lord, we know that any person in this building sitting here, standing here this morning, would want us to be there with you too. It isn't, Lord, we're trying to exclude anybody. And, Father, nor do we exclude anybody. But, Father, Lord, that all might come into the grace which is there. Lord God, we know that Noah built a bigger boat And there was needed for 8 people, but only 8 came into the boat. And we know that you're infinite this morning, though infinite numbers are not going to come in. We realize that. But Father, we would pray that every single one this morning will come in. Now, Father, just help us to believe as never before, because we're looking from this promise to the next, that there won't be one person miss the rapture that's standing here this morning. God, hasten the day when we can look at each other and say, we all made it. We're all here. Unto thee we'll ascribe the honor and the glory, which we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you. Wednesday night, 7:30.